All right, you're live in the arms room with Glenn.
And John.
Woo!
I'm back, at least for a minute.
John is back as our guest.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have Ryan introduce himself again.
Maybe. I don't know.
Sorry we're like super late, but we had to stop and get an evaporative cooler because Ryan got to the office this morning and it was freaking 95 degrees in here.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Did it actually say 95 or did it just say hi?
95.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The other day when I came in here, it just said hi, H-I, you're dead, you're dying.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're a little late to start, but whatever. We got this evaporative cooler running. God, I hope it works because it's not really blowing cold air, but it's blowing air.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice, I guess.
It's kind of far.
Right next to it, we have this crappy fan. Yeah, whatever. We're switching locations for the show soon, so we're trying not to, like, we don't really want to fix our air conditioner here because, wow, we're literally leaving here in, like, 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Going somewhere else. So, whatever. But, so sorry we're late. Hopefully it's not drowning out our Facebook mic.
Yeah, somebody let us know.
So
if we need to speak
whoever's
louder,
listening, can you hear us?
Do we need to speak
just
more
fine.
Loudly?
The microphones are good to go because, and not everybody understands this, the microphones go to the board, which Ryan then
does magic with,
and then he puts that on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, all the other podcast sites.
Yeah.
This mic, the blue snowball, as it's called, is only for
the live.
Facebook.
Yeah.
It's only for the live thing. And so if you can't hear us, let us know.
Please.
Whatever. All right. Thank you to all of our patrons who support the show. We really appreciate you. And make sure you guys are checking out the extra show we did last week. Make sure you're checking out the blogs, the show reviews, all that good stuff.
We got some good recommendations for shows.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, yeah. So, after this, I'll shoot them over to you.
Cool. After the show, Ryan and I'll be talking about new shows coming up. We got a bunch of good stuff coming up already. So, yeah. Woo! All right. So, so someone said you can hear a breeze.
Oh.
Well, on the box, it actually said that this was supposed to provide a cool ocean breeze.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess it's working.
It's providing them the sound of a cool ocean breeze.
God, I wish we were
providing us.
We're not getting a cool ocean breeze. There's air blowing on us.
Oh wait, no, that felt cooler.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Or
am I just being hopeful?
Hopeful.
Look, man, at this point, it's just a mental game.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a cool ocean breeze.
It's a cool ocean.
All right.
All right.
This is like I feel like I'm in one of the, some shitty freaking military school where you just got to be like mind over matter. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
I love doing this. I love being here. All right,
this
so
is the greatest.
I love sweating inside and outside.
I love sweating all the places.
It is fun.
It's not as bad as NTC.
Nothing.
I wanted to read you guys a quote from I ordered a couple of things over the years from BFE Labs.
BFE.
You can if you follow them on Instagram, BFE Labs. They make like a lot of kind of low profile, non permissive environment type blades and tools, and I've ordered some of their stab patches, and they make a really, really cool stab patch. So anyways, I had got that, and I had posted it up online, like, hey, I really like when companies include a handwritten note of some kind with your order. And I know not all companies can do it, but it's like, even if whoever's packaging it just signs it, thanks, signed,
smiley face,
some intermittent freaking signature you're never going to be able to understand, like, that to me is a big deal. And so they had actually written this note that said, Glenn, thanks for your support and business, and signed Morgan, who's one of the guys that runs the place. So I thought that was really cool. I posted it up on our Instagram story, and he said, hey, I'm glad you're happy, whatever. I said, hey, man, handwritten notes say a lot about a company and their motivation. And he said this to me, which I really like, man, it just really makes me want to just continue to buy more stuff from him. You know, he just,
mm-hmm.
Here's what he says. It's personal for me. I build tools to be used to my philosophy of those tools, and I'm grateful every time someone trusts my ideas and craftsmanship by purchasing something. I take time to make each piece right for that customer who's going to put that trust in me, and I don't stop taking that time just because they already hit purchase.
Hmm.
Oh, what a great philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, I really appreciate that. I really appreciate companies like that. So if you guys are on Instagram, make sure you go follow BFE Labs, Bravo Foxtrot Echo Labs. They make a lot of cool products. Even if their products aren't necessarily something you like or want, they still have a lot of other cool posts that they make. So make sure you check that out. Another thing that I want to tell people about, it's something I've been doing for a while now, and I wanted to tell people about is the McKellar Running Club. Now, before we get too off on running, understand, I don't really like running.
No shit. All
right? But here's what's good about running.
Everything.
Cardio. I like running because it keeps me healthy, and we're big fans of physical fitness and health around here, and so running keeps me healthy. It's also something fun to do with people that I like being around.
Yeah.
Right? So McKellar Running Club is this international club run by McKellar Brewing, and they have running clubs that jokingly say that they're drinking clubs with a running problem. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's McKellar Running Club Phoenix, or MRC Phoenix, is a great club if you guys are looking for an opportunity to go run. I try to be at as many of the events as I can be. Every Wednesday night there's a run in Scottsdale, and once a month there's a run at various different places, usually on like early on a Saturday morning or something like that. So make sure that you guys check out their Instagram, MRC Phoenix. Easy to find. So MRC, Mike Romeo Charlie Phoenix. And you can get all the information about the runs, and maybe I'll see you there. But make sure that you check out that organization. It's a lot of cool events. We also do Ragnar as a team, Terrain Races as a team, a lot of cool stuff going on. So it's not just those kind of regularly scheduled runs, but also big events as well. So just something, if you're looking for something to do and you want to get in a little better shape and you want to run around other people, there's people of different – sometimes it's like people join a running club because they're like, oh, God. Or they don't join a running club because they're like, oh, man, everybody there must be an amazing runner.
Mm. Yeah.
I've been a part of a lot of different clubs over the years, shooting clubs, hunting clubs, all kinds of stuff. Most people who are involved in them aren't necessarily that great. They just want to be a part of a club.
Mm.
And they want to be around other people who have similar interests. So if you have similar interests, here's an organization. You don't have to be an amazing runner. But if you do join MRC, you definitely need to like drinking beer.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. They do beer miles, all kinds of crazy stuff. Got some feedback from a student this last week, a medical story feedback that I wanted to share. We get a lot of medical feedback from our students about how they apply, you know, information, tools, skills, stuff like that. But this one was interesting, of course, accompanied with a photo. And this huge laceration on the arm. Now, it was not an arterial laceration,
mm-hmm.
but the only thing that this student had was a cat tourniquet. So they grabbed their cat tourniquet. So, and I'll tell you the context here in a second. They grabbed a cat tourniquet, they threw it on, and they just cranked it down until the blood stopped coming out.
Yeah.
So they didn't need to completely go bananas because it wasn't needed, right? But they cranked it down until the blood stopped coming out, and voila, it stopped bleeding, everybody's happy. And talking to him afterwards, he was like, I really wish I would have had a pressure dressing, but I don't really have a way to carry a full IFAC. So, of course, I was talking to him about like flat pack pressure dressings and mm-hmm. elastic bandages and stuff. And I said, well, how did all this come about anyway? He's like, well, I got cut several times by a homeless guy, and this was the worst one. And I go, well, what were you doing interacting with homeless people to the point where they could cut you? So here's the story, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned from a story like this. And I'm not saying that this particular student, if they're listening, did anything wrong, but anytime we have a failure, we have to learn from that failure. And so here's some good opportunities to learn from that. They approached someone who, in a dark environment, seemed like maybe they were like a drunk kid or someone who needed some help. Okay. And when they approached them and was like, hey, can I help you? They got within arm's reach of them. Hey, can I help you? Trying to be nice.
Mm.
The person literally just turned around and started slashing with a knife.
Yeah.
Oh.
Slashed him several times and ran away. Cops looked for him, you know, but it's like...
It's homeless guy.
Homeless guy with a knife. I mean...
Yeah.
Good luck finding that. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned there, right? Don't approach people you don't know. Get within arm's reach.
Carry a flashlight.
Carry a flashlight. Yeah. Carry better medical supplies. They're a little bit more applicable to a wider range of emergencies.
Carry a gun,
if possible, for sure. Don't approach people like that. Start from a distance. Get their attention from a distance. I don't care. Throw shit at them if you have to.
Yeah.
But don't get within arm's reach.
Throw a rock at a crazy homeless guy.
Yeah, throw rocks at crazy homeless people. That's good. Boy, I tell you what, old 10th group is, they're having a hard time. The third death in Afghanistan in 3 weeks from 10th group, Sergeant Major James Sartor, 40 years old, died in combat operations on Saturday. So this is their second combat loss and their third overall loss in 3 weeks.
Yeah, because a few weeks ago, the 10th group lost that guy with the EOD guy, right?
Was
that
guy
for 10th group too?
Combat operations, yeah. And then that weekend, they lost another guy from non-combat related injuries. And then this guy. Remind me after the show to tell you about the guy, the other guy.
Yeah.
There's more to that story.
Of course.
Three losses from 10th group.
Jesus, man.
It's quick, man. yes, Shara, the fan is oscillating, to answer your question. So I was watching this thing last night about shark attack. Yeah, Shark Week coming up, very exciting time in the world. Shark Week coming up, very exciting. So National Geographic's playing all these shark documentaries and stuff. So last night, I'm watching this shark thing, and I was laughing my ass off because...
You're a terrible human, and you have a dark soul.
There were two reasons that I was laughing. There were two different stories that... Okay, there was one story that made me laugh, another story that made me frustrated. How about that? But I laughed in both. The first story, there's this guy. It's this kid. And he's recalling this story. They're going back to all these shark victims, a whole documentary about people who've been bitten by sharks, right? Which, and I've said this on the show before, there's no such thing as a shark attack. All right? If you're in the fucking water, it's not
you're
a shark attack.
House.
All right? If you're on the land...
That's shark defense.
That's a shark defense. That's a shark attack.
Yeah,
in the water,
yeah.
Shark defense. If you're on land and a shark comes out of the water and fucks with you, that's shark attack. That's a shark attack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So there's this guy. He's probably, I don't know, maybe early 20s now, but he's recalling the story from when he was a teenager. And he's talking about fishing with his parents or whatever. And his mom was catching lots of fish and he wasn't. And so she's like, here, honey, switch me places. And I'm like, she's setting him up. She's totally setting him up. She sees the shark. She's like, I don't want to be here anymore. She puts her kid as a blocker between her and the sharks. Like,
she's smart.
Just a couple minutes later, boom, this kid gets tagged by a shark. And they're showing the pictures of the injuries and they're like, mutilated his foot, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've seen worse accidents in the kitchen, all right? And this guy, this kid is like, he's like, starts like crying. As an adult, he's retelling the story, and he's like, had to take a couple surgeries. And he's like, poking on one part of his foot. He's like, I can't really feel this part of my foot anymore. Sometimes it goes numb. Sometimes it goes numb. He's poking this spot of skin, like maybe 2 by 2 inches, maybe. He has like no scarring, no visible scarring. And he's like, I can't go back in the water. And all I can fucking think about was that girl who got her arm bitten off.
And she still serves.
Goes back surfing. I wanted them to meet in person.
Yeah.
And I want this guy to tell his story to the girl. Where
the
he's like,
chick.
He's like, sometimes I can't feel this part of my foot so well.
And she's like, yeah, I can't feel my arm.
He's like, yeah, I can't feel any of my arm. And then I want him to start crying and be like, I can't get back in the water. I don't know if I had a few beers or what, but it was one of the funniest. It's still funny to me.
Really? Couldn't tell.
Oh, I just think about some people and I'm like,
such a terrible human. You have no idea how traumatic that experience was.
Here's the problem, man. If you get bit by a little shark in shallow water, unless it literally alters your body, it's like getting bit by a dog.
Yeah.
Or like scratched real bad by a cat. Only this thing has bigger fucking teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't know. So then the other story that I sort of chuckled at terribly, but also more what I wanted to talk about on the show, was medically related. So this guy and his family and some friends are out, you know, and again, they're in waist-deep water playing in the ocean because the majority of shark attacks happen in waist-deep water, usually from small sharks, bull sharks, black tips, stuff like that. And usually it doesn't kill somebody. It's usually, you know, gets them pretty good because it's like a dog-sized shark typically biting you. It's got some force to it, you know, and you're in the water and it knows how to swim, so it'll grab and rip and tear and do all that. But his kid starts getting attacked. He runs out there, grabs his kid, pulls him ashore. The foot is bleeding profusely, arterially. And they don't know, you know, he doesn't know how to stop it. And he says, the dad is retelling the story. He's very upset. And I don't know how to stop it. I don't know how to stop it. And he almost lost his son. They got him into an ambulance. They were able to put they were heaping shit on top of it, trying to hold enough pressure back. Finally transported him. They lost him a couple times in the operating room. They were finally able to bring him back. And then it shows him and his son now, who's an adult, you know, on the beach, having fun and playing and stuff. And this kid wasn't like, I don't want to go back to the water. He was like, yeah, you know, it was a terrible time in my life and it was very scary, but I still love the ocean and I still like being here and I'm not afraid of it. You know, it's a freaking shark. One in a million chance, you know?
Yeah.
So what was interesting is hearing this dad really choke up and get upset, recalling this memory of when he wanted to help his child.
He was helpless. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, like, these are the basics of stuff. So when people call me paranoid or whatever because I take my med kit to the beach, I like to say, like, I like to simplify my response and be like, you know, like, fuck you. I start using that response on most of the things I do these days.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Die then. Die. Saber-tooth tiger, gonna kill your ass. I don't care what form it's in. It's gonna kill you. You're gonna die. You're gonna be another sad story on a freaking documentary because you lost your kid and you didn't know what to do.
Well, you're paranoid until you have to use it.
Yeah.
It's.
And then you're a hero.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, well,
three weeks ago on the show, we were talking about that guy who saved that little girl's life in North Carolina with a tourniquet.
Right.
She just got tagged by a freaking shark. Saves her life with a tourniquet. Was that guy paranoid? Oh, no. Now he's a hero.
Right.
Ridiculous, man.
Yep.
In that same vein of medical stuff, our friends over at Rolling Dirty, Jim and Regina.
Yeah.
They, I had done a video with them months and months ago that they finally got around to editing because it ended up being this really long video. It's about a 25-minute long video now. It was like an hour's worth of material.
Whoa.
But in the video, we talk a lot about the overlanding world and trauma kits and medical training and stuff like that. So if you guys are interested, go to the YouTube channel, Rolling Dirty Overland.
Oh, it's the one I went out there with you, right? To the desert?
Did you go to business?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They finally released that. It just took them a while to get around to doing it. They're busy people.
And they did a couple of big trips, too.
And they've had some trips and stuff. I'm not saying anything bad about it. But they released a video. You guys can check it out on the YouTube channel. We'll put it up on the Independence Training Facebook page as well so you guys can find it easier. We'll do that later today sometime. But pretty cool little video. Just kind of long, but good stuff. Good content. John, for the first time in weeks, buddy. Redwire gear moment, go.
So there's actually two things today. One, I'm back 2 weeks going cross country. It was a great trip. If you've been following the Redwire Gear Instagram page and Facebook, I've been putting up a few photos here and there. The summer 20 code is still valid. I'm going to run that through the end of this week while I'm getting caught up with everything.
Yeah.
And then this, the actual thing I was thinking about, because I had an incident where I checked my headlamps and they worked, and then we got out to one of our campsites and one of my headlamps died on me. So change your batteries regularly and keep extras on hand. So thankfully I had like four headlamps.
Yeah.
So I had a spare headlamp, but one of my headlamps went down on me during one of our camping nights. So.
Also rechargeable headlamps.
Mm. Also, there are some fantastic rechargeable headlamps.
I've started using the Petzl, I can't remember what they're called, Arctas or Arcas or something like that. They just have a rechargeable battery and USB rechargeable. So much better than having to worry about AAAs.
Yeah.
So, different when you have kids, because I'm with you on board. When you have kids, you're like, here's a $2 headlamp.
Yep.
I buy, no kidding, I have a bag of like the $1, $2 headlamps. You buy them like in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap on Amazon or whatever. And then the kid's like, I lost my headlamp. He's like, you know, here's another headlamp.
Yeah, the ones that run the little 2032 watch batteries.
It's like not even, it's so inexpensive, it's not even worth changing the battery. When the battery goes out, you fucking throw it away.
Yeah.
It's not even worth changing the battery in.
Yeah, I got a couple of those.
Totally. All right. And on that, in that kind of vein, we're going to talk today about commonly overlooked emergency prep items.
That cooler sucks.
Yeah, man. This cooler is like not really cold. Is it getting cooler? It's blowing some air though, right?
It's blowing. I don't think it's blowing air.
I don't think it's getting any cooler either.
I think we're just sweating, so the fan is cooling us by evaporation.
Maybe that's what they mean by it's an evaporation.
Yeah.
You sweat and then it blows air across you. But that's convection actually, not evaporation technically. Yeah, convection. When the air blows across you and you're sweating so it cools your skin, that's convection.
Okay.
Whatever. We'll just hang in. All right. So commonly overlooked emergency prep items. Let's just start right with what John talked about.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, and when we talk about emergency prep, actually, let's take a step back for a second. When we're talking about emergency prep, what we're talking about are anything that is an emergency.
Yes.
Like anything that takes you out of your normal everyday routine.
Like a 2-week road trip.
Yeah, there's
not an emergency.
Not an emergency. But
those preps and things that you have that you keep in your vehicle, you have to check those and make sure they're right. Because
you have a higher chance of an emergency.
Much higher chance of something going wrong.
So batteries.
Huge deal.
Batteries in everything. Constantly, excuse me. I think a commonly overlooked thing in emergency prep is administratively rotating batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, we carry around flashlights, right, on our body. So carrying a flashlight in my pocket is an emergency prep item. So because of that, I have to administratively rotate the batteries. In other words, I don't want to use my light, find out it's dead, and then be like, oh, crap, I actually needed that to illuminate that homeless guy or try to keep someone away from me or try to see that creature in the bushes making noise at me or whatever. So administratively rotating batteries in critical items, keeping things that are rechargeable charged up, making sure that – I don't care if you have to make a calendar. Like, I got a buddy who does that. He's got all these different batteries in his life, and he literally has a calendar of, like, every week he's doing something different. So every month, all his batteries are either getting rotated or recharged.
Oh, that's cool.
That way he's just constantly, like, he may plug it in and it's fully charged. He just unplugs it, puts it back. But it's that quick check that says, yep, I'm good to go. It's even like, think about your power tools.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How often do you go to grab your power tools, your damn batteries are dead?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're all excited about a project. You got to put the battery in. You get like 30 seconds of usage out of it. The battery's dead. So what I started doing years ago because of that was, one, I bought more batteries and bigger batteries, and then I just rotate them. And every time I'm in the garage and even thinking about a power tool, I'm like, I check the batteries. I just take one and I put it on the charger. Just leave the charger plugged in, boom, put it on the charger. And then pull that one off when it's green. And if I put it on and it's green already, perfect, put the next one on. Because now, from an emergency perspective, we had a friend who almost just found himself in a hurricane this weekend, right, just because of where he lives, down in Louisiana. And what if suddenly you need your power tools to bar up the doors, hold something down, and they're dead? And you don't have any power to recharge your batteries. Like,
sad.
Recycling administratively changing, I mean, your batteries and making sure that your batteries are recharged. And also paying attention to odd batteries.
Yeah.
Things that are weird, like 2365s and weird shit like that. Like, if you have an electronic device that has an odd battery, make sure you stock up on that stuff. Because I can't run to the store in an emergency and be like, oh, I need some AA's, AAA's, D's, C's, common ones you're more likely to find. Or even rummage around your house, pull them out of other devices, whatever. But some weird, crazy battery, you know, it's one of my pet peeves against some of the electronics that are being put in onto like guns now, a lot of optics and laser systems and stuff like that, just trying to make them smaller, more compact. So they're going to these weird ass batteries.
Mm.
You know, so that's one thing. Before I even buy something, I always look at what kind of batteries it takes.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be having to stock up on some weird battery trying to find some weird battery. So to go back a little bit to priorities of emergency prep. Consider that there's 7 total priorities to survival, but there's 6 of those 7 that are actually involved items, which is what we're going to talk about. You have food, water, signaling, which doesn't have to mean like a flare gun, your phone, ham radio, whatever. August 31st is the intro to communications class with Ted, so make sure you make it. fire, first aid, and shelter. So anytime I'm looking at emergency prep items, I'm looking at those 6 things to figure out where am I weak at, right? So I kind of made a general list of some things, and you guys can hop in and just kind of, you know, tell me what you think within these things. But my number one thing, and John knows, he's laughing because he saw it on my list. My number one storage item.
Oh, I know what it is.
Toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
Makes a lot of sense.
I've been without it.
It sucks.
It's sad.
It sucks.
Nobody likes coming back from a long hike with half a sock and half a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Or less.
Half a pair of underwear or no underwear.
Or none.
You're like, see you later, Haynes, you've done me well. But now you have another mission.
It's so important to him that while I was traveling, I went to visit my dad.
Yeah.
And I was snooping in my dad's bathroom.
Yeah. On the other side of the country.
On the other side of the country. And I open it, and he's got like this, it's like a double wide, you know, like closet. And the one shelf in there is just full of toilet paper. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, Glenn needs to see this.
Well, here's some things to consider about toilet paper. First of all, everybody poops.
Yes.
All right, you're going to need toilet paper.
Yep.
Second of all, if someone doesn't have toilet paper, in the backpacking world, we call it mountain money.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Wet wipes and toilet paper. Mountain money. Think about a freaking long op, right? Your day is in and someone runs out of toilet paper.
Gauze.
What will they do for it?
No.
You'll use gauze.
Yeah.
Or you'll use socks. You'll use anything. Yeah. But like, think about, for good toilet paper, wet wipes, what will someone part with? A lot.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, jalapeno cheese. You're damn right they will. Yeah. So my point is, like, it's not a bad trade item either. But toilet paper, big.
It's not particularly heavy.
It's not heavy, but it is bulky. But you can put it under beds. You can put it up on top of shelves. You can find places to put. And some people think they're stocked up because they got like 20 rolls. I mean, think about how many people are in your house. Just observe the consumption of toilet paper in your house for
a couple of weeks.
Especially if you have kids.
And if you have little girls.
Yeah.
Oh, little dude.
Yeah.
It's like you really need to use half a roll just for that.
You pee.
Come on.
You pee. Why'd you use half a roll?
It's like.
Yeah.
And just rip it off.
Flush it. Clog.
They just take one in and they stick it in the toilet and then they flush it. The whole thing's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone. I'd like to say that's a joke, but most boys have tried.
Not a joke. Vehicle parts, like things that make your vehicle run.
Okay.
Filters.
Hoses.
Hose belts. Repair, clamps, belts.
Belts can be a big one.
Especially in hot-ass, dry-ass Arizona.
Yeah, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So those clamps, it's always good to have a spare if you do a lot of stuff and you're driving like outside of normal things.
Yeah.
Upper and lower radiator hose and then like your AC belt.
Mm. And rescue tape, the thermal molding tape.
Yeah.
I have repaired high pressure radiator hoses with that thing and high pressure power steering hoses with it as well. It's amazing stuff. So the hotter it gets, the harder it seals. So it's amazing stuff. But just general like extra vehicle parts. That also includes your spare tire, making sure you check it and maintain it. It is a maintenance item.
Yep.
Check and make sure it's inflated. Check and make sure the tread is good. Checking your tires to make sure that they're properly rotated, properly inflated. Just kind of like general vehicle maintenance, but also vehicle parts, like the extra parts that keep your vehicle running day to day.
Does that include the tools, obviously?
And the tools.
Yeah. Basic toolkit.
Yeah.
And fluids.
And maybe one of those, what do they call those? What are those books that tell you all about the book? Is it the Haynes?
Chilton's.
Oh, Chilton's. Yeah,
there's Chilton, there's Haynes. A couple of companies, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a couple different books, like get that for your vehicle. It's a breakdown of how to fix your vehicle so that when a mechanic may not be available. And we're not talking about these things from like a zombie apocalypse perspective either. We're just talking about them from
self-reliance
a daily emergency. Hey, man, I need to be able to fix this thing.
Yeah.
Can't afford a mechanic. Can't get to a mechanic. I'm out in the middle of the desert, broke down.
Yeah, you're driving to California, you're on the 10. There are some long stretches on the 10.
How can I fix my thing, right?
And on that note, and we talked about it on the show before, make sure you have, at the minimum, a towel. So when you're underneath, you're changing a tire, you're doing whatever, you can lay it on the ground. That's extremely important here in Phoenix because the ground gets fucking hot.
And a set of gloves.
And a set of gloves would be great too, because like, I know that I've gotten on the ground without a towel or a blanket. I have a moving blanket just because I can just lay it out.
Yeah, it'll melt you, dude.
Yeah, and get on the ground. It sucks. And if like you're driving to work and you're like wearing nice clothes, you don't want to lay down on the asphalt. Just lay down in a towel. It's going to help with the heat, help with all the dirt and all that kind of stuff.
Black plastic. Big, heavy-duty landscaping plastic. Here's what. There's a lot you can do with heavy-duty plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, a lesson I learned.
Body cleanup.
What?
A lot easier.
Great for body cleanup.
Right.
But there's things you can do with black plastic. Like, you can cover up your windows and doors and light sources. If you don't want somebody, like your neighbors, to know that you have light and food and sources and all that kind of stuff, and you are in some kind of natural disaster, and you're like, hey, I'll share as needed, but I don't want people banging down my door to come get stuff. It's an easy way to black stuff out. It's really useful to grow things in. If you need to start growing stuff inside, mm-hmm. you can line things with black plastic, just about anything with black plastic, and grow plants inside of that. It's great for cleanup if I'm doing something messy, even if I'm like butchering an animal or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I just need something to capture all the nasty stuff. Gives me that capability. Obviously, it's good if I need to go outside and start doing some gardening. Holds back weeds, helps to, hold things in place, helps to keep moisture in place. So if I do start outside gardening or do any of those things, good to make not waterproof things waterproof.
Yep.
You know, buckets that may have holes in them or something like that I'm trying to keep water in, put black plastic in them. There's a lot of good uses for black plastic. So just a roll of black landscaping plastic can go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, collect water if you're in that type of situation.
Yep.
Or at least a box of the, 6 mil contractor bags.
Yeah, the big bags are nice.
Because you can cut those and lay them out flat, and they're, 4 to 6 mil.
Yeah, heavy duty.
Super readily available.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, easy to store. Super I carry a couple of them in my truck all the time. You know, you might need them. But, yeah, like Ryan said, good for catching water runoff from the roof, funneling down into a bucket or something like that.
Well, I mean, even in the desert.
Yeah, stretch it out and make a tarp and make a big funnel.
Well, yeah. One thing that we did at Sear was so you dig a hole.
Yeah.
Put the canteen cup.
Yep, condensation.
Piss in the hole.
Yeah.
Then you put the plastic over, put a rock in the center, and then it's going to evaporate. The condensation is going to drip into that cup. And it does not taste like piss. It does not.
No. Absolutely does not.
No.
Not horrible.
No, it's clean water.
And you get about 8 ounces every 24 hours, typically. It takes a long time.
So it does take a while.
Mind you, typically you want several holes and several cups.
But if you're if you're in a place with vegetation, you can wrap branches.
Yeah, you can do condensation bags.
Yep. Exactly. You can do a lot with plastic.
So yeah, some big heavy duty plastic's important.
You can suffocate someone.
Blacks things out. What's that?
I said you can suffocate someone.
You can dispose of a body. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't forget duct tape.
General tools, I was at a buddy of mine's house years ago, and we were trying to hang a shelf. He was like, hey, man, I need some help hanging a shelf. Will you bring over your tools because I don't know what we're going to need? I'm like, yeah, so I bring over some tools, and we're hanging the shelf, and I'm like, hey, man, I need an extra whatever it was. Grab yours out of your toolbox. And he's like, I don't have that. I'm like, all right, so we make do. So then we're not just hanging shelves, we're building shelving in his garage. And I'm like, hey, grab another one of these. And he's like, I don't have that. And I'm like, how do you not have this? You're a guy. You're a guy. You're an outdoor guy. How do you not have a good tool set? He's like, I don't know. I just never really use tools. I don't really build stuff. And I'm like, all right, well, you're killing me right now, dude. So it was our very next guy trip. We were I literally took him to Home Depot and made him buy a good toolbox and
here's a set of screwdrivers.
You know?
Some pliers.
So yeah, some general tools that you're going to need for daily around the house stuff. Hammer, pliers, screwdriver set, socket set, wrench set, some general nails of a few different sizes, mm-hmm. screws of a few different sizes, a couple different types of wall anchors. You just look for stuff like that, you know? So all of that, just general tools that will help you fix things, build things, secure locations. That's always a big thing I'm thinking about. I like big, 3-inch freaking wood screws, a couple boxes of those. Keep some boards around with that black plastic. I can black a place out. I can restrict access to some place. A couple boards on the extra inside lumber. Of windows and doors goes a long way to keep people out of the structure.
Mm. Lumber.
Yeah, just some lumber hanging around. Just a couple stacks, in the corner of your garage, outside. They can even get weathered. I mean, yeah, it's not good for them, but rotate them out every now and then, Every year, cut them up, take them camping, make firewood out of them, spend another $30 on lumber, and go buy some inexpensive, couple two by fours
and one or two sheets of plywood if you've got space.
Have some basic lumber hanging around. Okay? Seasoning for food.
Mm.
Like extra seasoning. Whatever you like, because everyone has tons of stuff in their cabinet, but nobody keeps extra seasoning for the most part. I shouldn't say nobody. Most people I notice, when they're like, oh shit, I'm out of this. It always blows my mind when someone says, I'm out of this.
Mm.
I'm like, why don't you have two of everything? Do you like that? You use it a lot, right? Yeah. Why don't you have two of them? And then wrote, you're like, oh, I ran out of this. That goes in the garbage. The second one comes in. And when you're at the store the next time, you get another one. Like, whatever it is that your common usages. So especially with, like, seasoning, keep extra seasoning. If you have food that's kind of bland, maybe you burned it, maybe you don't have a lot of extra food. And again, this isn't like, oh, my God, zombie apocalypse stuff. My sister, at one point in her life, was living on this ranch in the middle of nowhere. And she had had some financial hardships. And so she spent a couple of weeks basically living off of food storage. You know, some food she had just stored up, general canned goods and you know, pastas and stuff like that, along with her kids. Well, it's like, man, you got kids and you, and you're trying to eat maybe kind of bland food. Like, you're going to want some freaking seasoning.
I'm super fortunate when it comes to my kids because they will eat plain pasta for days of any kind. They don't care.
That is nice.
Just plain cooked noodles, and they will be completely content.
Mm. I think that's something, too. Like, for those of you who don't have kids out there, I think one of the biggest things that people do wrong with their kids is they spoil them with food. Like, when they're young and they're like, I don't want to eat this, and they're like, oh, you don't have to. What else can I make you? I'm like this with my kids. I'm like,
that's dinner.
No matter what you do, that's your next meal.
Yep.
Go to bed hungry tonight.
Yep.
Wake up hungry in the morning. What you're looking at, that's your next meal. So unless you're going to start chewing on cardboard or eating the wood on the freaking furniture, that's your next meal. Like, learn how to eat it. And they struggle through it, and they suffer down.
Short order cook thing in my house, and I was like, nope, no more.
No.
Like, this is what mom and dad are having for dinner, and this is what the kids are having for dinner. Yep. You don't want to eat that? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, I don't mind catering a little bit to people's, you know, desires. Like, if I'm like, hey, guys, we can have this or this, and they go, oh, let's have that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, no problem.
That's different, though. That's not making four different meals for one dinner.
Exactly. Hey, I made this, and they're like, I don't like that. It's like, well, I guess you don't eat, because caveman rule says when there's food and you're hungry, you eat it or you die.
It's true.
There you go. We have another funny caveman rule with my kids, and that is if you can't open the package, you don't get what's inside. So,
oh my God, I gotta start that one.
And stuff like that, I'm like, if you can't figure out how to open the package, I like rip it open with their – let me borrow your knife, Dad. I'm like, no problem. Cut that shit. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't get in the package, you don't get what's inside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I got to start that.
Caveman rules.
Jesus.
Yeah, caveman rules. One of our listeners, my wife doesn't keep a charging cable for her phone in her car, makes my head explode. Yes, I agree with that, man.
I have
charging cables.
I have like 7 charging cables for my iPhone.
I've got the USB jump starter that's got a lithium ion, jump starter for the car battery. It's got a USB thing on it. It'll charge my – I got an extra battery pack in there. Like, I've been in situations where my phone has died and it's been very almost inconvenient for me, but I always have had that extra battery pack, and it's always been very, very useful to the point that I just carry one around with me all the time now, like, period.
There's one in my backpack right now.
Yeah.
It'll charge my phone 3 times.
Nice.
So I'm looking at some other comments here. YouTube University has taught me how to fix a lot of my stuff almost every time. 100%, man. Like, you can learn a lot from YouTube.
I fixed a washing machine.
Yeah.
From YouTube.
Yeah.
One of the front loaders.
Yeah.
Like a 20-minute video.
Yeah.
I watched it like 7 times, though.
Now, the point, of course, that the very next person puts up is YouTube's great if you have electricity and internet. So we want to make sure that another thing that's on my list to talk about is books. And what we already talked about it from the vehicle perspective.
Yeah.
But like gardening books, you know, structural books.
Yep.
Self-defense books, books on electrical repair, like... Don't discount buying books because we have internet.
Mm.
I still have a healthy book collection, and a lot of those are, you know, manuals and self-help stuff.
Black
and
Decker
like that.
Has like this whole series of like home repair books that you can generally find at like Barnes and Noble in the clearance section because nobody buys them anymore,
right?
Mm-hmm.
For like half price, and they're great and they're super generic and super general. But if you don't know, it gets you going in the right direction.
Yeah, this is how you fix a window. This is how you hang a door. Like.
This
general
is how to patch drywall. This is how to fix a hot water heater.
So see, if you don't have that kind of knowledge and experience already where you can just call upon it and go, yeah, I know how to do that, get some freaking books. Plus, get them anyway because you don't know who else might need them in your life. So it's like, yeah, books, it's nice that we can look everything up on the internet, and right now we can use that as a source of information to learn how to repair stuff, but also make sure you have the books.
And those books, real quick, those books can save you hundreds and hundreds of dollars in bills.
Oh, yeah.
For, like, simple repairs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my toilet's not flushing right? Open the book and look inside the toilet tank.
Yeah.
Probably just needs a new valve thingamajig.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, which is the official name for that thing.
Yeah, thingamajig. Yep. Valve thingamajig.
Valve thingamajig.
Water containers, like available water containers. In any event of any possible water outage, like years ago, they went door to door in the town up in Prescott Valley when I was living in Prescott Valley. They went door to door and told everyone, hey, the water's going to be shut off at like 4 p.m. today, and it won't be turned on until like 10 p.m. Most people were like, okay.
It's because they don't think about it.
I know construction. Turned on at 10 p.m.? That's what they call a lie.
Yeah, like 10 a.m. Right? the next day. Maybe.
So I'm like, no problem. I went right back inside the house, and I filled everything that would hold water, I filled with water. I had 4 or 5 pots on the freaking stove. I had bowls in all the sinks and all the tubs. I made sure my 50-gallon jug was full of water in the garage. I made sure all of our camping jugs were full. I made sure all the water cups were full. I literally had cups of water on the sink. People came home and they're like, what are you doing? Like, we're not going to be fucking thirsty. That's what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And that night we had plenty of water cooked because it wasn't. It was early the next morning. We don't know when because sometimes from the time we went to sleep and woke up, the water got turned back on. But it wasn't 10 p.m.
No.
So we cooked with it. We washed with it. We bathed kids with it. We ate, you know, we drank everything we needed to do with plenty of water.
Yep.
So it's like have quickly available water containers. And containers that you're almost like those blue aqua for jugs or whatever from freaking Walmart or Sportsman's or whatever. Those are fine.
Yep.
Have a handful of those hanging around in the garage, just full of water, just sitting there. Is it going to get hot in the garage yet? You need to rotate it? Yes. That's okay.
Probably need to...
Just keep water containers. Even if you're not going to keep them full,
yeah.
keep things them. Available.
Mm. Yeah.
So you're not scrambling trying to fill tiny little cups and bowls and stuff like that. And even at the slightest hint of an emergency, fill everything with water.
Yep.
Plug the tub, fill it with water. Line it with black plastic so it doesn't leak out of the drain. And fill it with freaking water.
There you go.
You know what I mean? That's a lot. A pool. Fill it with water. Make sure it's full, full, full. Like, keep everything you can in your life full of water. Because water is life. So that's an emergency prep item I think people overlook. Also, clothes.
Yeah.
Like, extra clothes that are your size that work for you.
Yep.
One thing that I do, and it's not so much for emergency prep as it is for companies changing their damn minds... But if I find a pair of boots that I like I'm a big Oboes fan.
Yeah.
I almost always have a brand new pair of Oboes in the box in my closet.
Yep.
Almost always. Because when I find a pair of boots I love, it's inevitable
they're going to
discontinue that damn line or they will change something about it.
Yep.
So it's like if I find a pair of shoes, boots, whatever, I'm like, man, I love these things. As soon as financially possible, I buy another pair. And I just stick them in the closet. And then when the other pair's worn out, great, I can rotate to the new ones. And then if they're still available and still possible, I go buy another new pair. And we've always got that new pair. Again, from a long-term emergency perspective, now I have that capability to have good footwear. It's going to take me long distances and hike and do all that kind of stuff. Same thing with general clothes. Like, unless you're going to change a lot in size, like it's tough to do for kids. But once you're an adult,
Jesus.
If you find a pair of pants you really like, get another pair. If you find a shirt you like, get another one.
Yeah.
Like, just try to keep those things that they're always easy to rotate. And if something does happen when there's an emergency where maybe extra clothes are no longer available and you're getting to the point where you're, you know, your clothes are more patches and sewn patch jobs than clothes, you can rotate out to the new stuff.
Yep.
And in that same, or on that same note, kids stuff, general kids stuff. Toys, games,
diapers,
bigger clothes.
Yeah.
You know, like one thing I do for emergency preparedness is instead of putting the clothes that my kid is wearing now in their bag, I put bigger clothes. Because they can always wear bigger clothes. But 6 months from now or longer, like most of us, when we go back to check those emergency bags... The kid's grown, and hopefully they're still roughly in that same size. Then you go, oh, shit, let me take these clothes out because they fit them now. Here you go. Here's some clothes you haven't worn for a while. Here you go. Take these. And then I go, you know, buy some new ones or whatever. They're going to need them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Take the bigger clothes, put them in the bag. You can always wear bigger clothes. You cannot wear smaller ones.
Not comfortably.
Right? And, yeah, for most kids, they're not even freaking do it. So it's like that's something to think about, too, from a kid perspective. Hygiene items. Toothpaste. I don't know what it is about toothpaste.
It just makes all the difference in the world,
dude. I stock up on toothpaste like the apocalypse is tomorrow.
So it's like toothpaste and toilet paper.
Yeah, I'm like toothpaste and toilet paper. I'm your guy. I'm going to be the lord of the freaking teepee throne. You guys all be bowing down, begging me for two squares at a time.
I'm just going to set it on fire.
Yeah.
I'm just going to burn your stash.
Arm security, dude. My teepee. Oh, my gosh, the arm security. All right. So the idea behind hygiene, of course, is and toothpaste specifically, is like you want to be clean. You know, cleanliness staves off any kind of disease, sickness, helps you stay fresh, helps you feel better. Like, it's a huge morale boost. There's three things I always do in the field every chance I get. I wash my pits.
Yep.
I wash my hair. I brush my teeth. Not necessarily in that order, just whatever's available. Right? But, like, if I'm cruising down the road or down a trail now, right? If I'm cruising down a trail, I always keep my toothpick or my toothbrush handy. I always keep a little folding toothbrush. I just keep it, like, in my hip pocket. If I'm just cruising along, I'm like, my mouth feels gross.
Oh, even
with no toothpaste. Worse. You can pull that thing out, and I'm just brushing my teeth, hiking down the freaking trail. You know, same thing back in the day. Like, chilling back at freaking Hilo or whatever. Just like.
You wake up in the morning, you're like,
feels nice, man.
Yeah.
Like, a nice, clean mouth. Oh, feels nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You wash your hair, wash your pits. So, like, keep those things in mind. Like, those bath wipes. The big bath wipes are great. You can wash your hair with those.
Mm-hmm.
You can wash your pits with them. You don't need water to rinse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that and a toothbrush with a small thing in toothpaste, dude, make all the difference in the world. I actually keep toothbrush and toothpaste, like, in my truck.
Oh, yeah. I've got one in the center console of my truck.
It's phenomenal. Phenomenal to be able to brush your teeth when you're just not feeling good. I get same thing with wet wipes and those bath wipes. I keep them in the truck.
I keep those little packets, like, when you go to the dentist or whatever, and they give you, the little floss, the toothpaste, and a new toothbrush.
Yeah.
Right in the center console.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like, so nice. So if it's that nice in a daily use, even nicer in emergency, in a bad situation where you're just like, shit, man, things are going wrong. And what's nice is if you do small hygiene items, like trial size toothpaste or the soap and shampoo and stuff like that from hotels, now you have a small thing that's easily portable and also a great trade item.
Yup.
Like, that's something I always think about. Not even from, like, a Book of Eli, end of the world, I'm trading you this for that because if we don't, we're going to die. But, like, on the trail, right? For those of you guys still serving the military, on an op somewhere, multi-day op, or just a long deployment, or some shitty TDY where you can't resupply for a while, or long freaking drill if you're in the National Guard or whatever, and you got a small thing of shampoo, and dude forgot his shampoo. Instead of me sharing my shampoo, I'm like, well, bro, I have this 2-ounce shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have, right? Because the game of trade is something you have for something you need, right? So it's like, I have, what do you have, right?
Yep.
I have, I need, right? So, dude, it's a great way to trade for stuff. Hey, I've got this little thing of soap. You need some soap. I got this thing of toothpaste. I got this little folding toothbrush, whatever. What can you trade? In an end-of-the-world zombie apocalypse, even more useful.
Oh, yeah.
Because now I have small currency. No one's going to give a shit about your dollar bills at that point.
No.
For the most part. They are going to care about smaller items to be used for small currency. But even just generally, your day-to-day, you know? I mean, I've traded toilet paper for Snickers bars, all kinds of stuff. Just whatever. I mean, it's nice to have small items. Now, before and not including an end-of-the-world apocalypse, we're talking about just a disruption in our daily life.
Yeah.
A natural disaster, let's say, where power's not running. You want to think about having small bills. So I always keep some small bills in my wallet, certainly in my safe. Ones, fives, tens. Because if you go down, excuse me, in a hurricane and you want a bottle of water and the store's like, we don't make change because we don't have change.
Yeah.
Because we don't have that capability right now. The bank's not coming to resupply us. So bottles of water are $4. And you show up with a 20 because that's all you have, and they're like, we don't make change.
Looks like I'm buying 5 bottles.
So that means you're either getting 5 bottles of water or you're paying with a 20.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So just small bills, ones, fives, tens, a little bit of change, doesn't hurt you to have. But think about having small bills and just keep, you know, get a bundle of fives, a bundle of ones, put them in your safe, call it a day.
Yep.
You know, it's a few hundred bucks, and you're in business. We kind of already talked about this with the power stuff, but like the ability to use the sun. There are so many solar powered items now.
Oh my god!
I have solar powered battery packs now.
Yeah,
solar everything. I have solar powered lights. So much solar powered stuff. LEDs and solar powered stuff. Like solar power everything you possibly can. Last weekend when I was in Colorado, or 2 weekends ago when I was in Colorado, my sister and her husband bounced around a lot. They're in the service industry. They do like massage therapy and stuff like that, sports therapy. And so they bounce around to different resorts during different times of the year. So a lot of times they live in a travel trailer. So they're always trying to make the most use out of their space. Yeah. So they've got one of those Goal Zero, I think it's the 800 or something like that. Oh. Maybe it's the 400. It's a battery.
Yeah.
It's a huge battery pack that they just gassed up with the sun.
Yeah.
And they can run their laptop for several hours off of this thing and charge all their items and everything, and then they just throw a panel up and gas it up with the sun when the sun is out. It's like, man, that's where the majority of their power is coming from, is good, high-quality power. You don't have to jerry-rig something or be crazy about it. There are commercial products now available. You can walk into a store and buy them and walk out.
Right.
I've got enough solar power stuff now to say the kinks have been worked out.
Oh, yeah. They reissued a lot of the EOD gear just recently, and one of our kits is now a solar charging kit. We have like 6 panels in there of different sizes, and one of the panels folds out. It's about the size of a Humvee hood.
Right.
And it'll charge our the 5590, the lithium ion rechargeable batteries. It'll charge one of those in a matter of about 2 hours, which is great because now if my robot goes down or any of my other tools, right, that require those batteries, I can keep those batteries charged just by putting that panel out there. So, solar's where it's at if you can get into the game and buy the right stuff.
Oh, dude, that's the way to go. I'm yawning so much today.
It's because it's hot.
Maybe. That thing's blowing my face. Note from Christopher here. Every day at work, I work construction. My basic loadout in my backpack is a gallon of water into 4 Nalgene bottles, a 22,000 milliamp battery pack, which will recharge your phone like 10 freaking times.
Yeah.
A boo-boo kit, extra clothes, and his med kit, which is slowly improving. Awesome. Like, yeah. That's a decent start, man. Like that, and that's more. Here's the sad thing is that we look at that, and good on Christopher for doing it and posting it up too. But
yeah.
Like, we look at that, we go, that's a good start. Like, you're headed in the right direction. You got some good gear. That's good daily use stuff. He's probably used all that stuff several times. Nothing's just sitting there not being used. How many people even carry that?
I don't carry that much water on my person. Now, my truck, I've got 10 gallons of water.
Right.
5 of it's in a Rubbermaid for drinking with ice. I just put a bag of ice in it like every other day. And then the other one's just an extra 5-gallon jug for emergency stuff.
Now, here's another good point for...
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I'm going to talk about it in a second. Download free from Alyssa. Download free ebooks on a Kindle and have a small solar battery pack like we just talked about.
Yeah.
And then put PDFs on a micro SD card to access on your phone. Use the same solar battery pack to keep your phone charged. So yeah, when you don't have internet, like download, if you're looking at ebooks or videos that you're like, damn, I wish I could save this video, like save that video, stick it on an SD card, put it on a hard drive, whatever, something you can access later, and then juice up that phone or that tablet with, you know, one of these solar packs. Absolutely great idea, Melissa. Sheriff sent us a link to the Reliance Products nylon collapsible water container. So I actually have a military version of this. You remember the old green roll-up ones? They were 5 gallons.
Yeah, what do they call it?
They used to call them water buffaloes.
No, the water buffalo is the steel one.
The steel 500-gallon pull behind.
What? Okay, you're right. What did they used to call the ones that were
They hang.
The hanging one.
Yeah,
I call those.
It's like a duffel bag of water, yes. Essentially. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have no idea. Because they would hang them outside of chow halls on a tripod.
Yep. And you'd have to go refill it. It was like always field stuff. Yeah, tripod. Yeah, tripod.
Not tripod.
No.
Overthorted. Or quad pod.
I'm trying to think of what the hell those things were called.
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now.
Listerine? No, that's mouthwash.
Damn.
Also something handy to keep around.
Also good hygiene.
A ton of different stuff. Yeah. Hygiene, there's a certain amount of alcohol in there that you can reduce to purify some alcohol for purification purposes.
Yeah. But yeah, this thing's $10 on Amazon. Reliance Products nylon collapsible water container. It's like a stuff sack. Yeah, it basically looks like a giant stuff sack with a freaking nozzle on the bottom.
That's fantastic.
And I bet that thing rolls up to, well, here it is folded up. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Tiny. And there you go. There's a great collapsible water container.
Buying today.
Also,
likely.
Speaking of emergency items for Prime Day, they have life straws for $10 each. Life straws are great.
Yeah.
$10 each. Buy 10 of them. You won't be disappointed.
Nope.
Let's see. Taco seasoning. Extra taco seasoning. Again, man, any seasoning. Like, you're never going to be disappointed about having good seasoning. You're never going to be disappointed. Like, I have all this meat. I have all these vegetables, whatever. I wish I could spruce them up a little bit.
So here's something I bet a lot of people don't think about. Extra propane and fuel for your grill or your camp stoves.
Yep.
Right? So yeah. I actually need to do this. I need to pick up an extra thing for my grill because I've been using it for a long time. And I don't grill out a lot, but extra propane for that and then extra fuel for like your little camp stoves and stuff. Because you can do a lot with those. You can cook a lot and make your, you know, sterilize your water or purify your water, however you want to, you know, whatever your verbiage there is. So yeah, extra fuel is always handy to have around for stuff like that.
Yeah, so then, of course, Christopher says, yeah, and every jack wagon at work comes up and says, can I have a Band-Aid? Right after laughing at me for carrying that. Again, Christopher, you can adopt my new philosophy, which is, fuck you. That's my new philosophy for a lot of things. Like, you know what? It's 2019. Prepare to take care of yourself or die. The end.
You've been warned.
Stilson for president, 2020. Dude,
my gun's
take
not
care
for
of your shit or die.
My gun's not here for you. My med kit's not here for you. My survival supplies are not here for you. My emergency prep is not here for you. I'm not here for you. I don't get paid to be your professional responder.
You're right.
You're on your own, sucker.
It's called a Lister bag.
Lister. I was close. I did say Lister, but it's Lister.
Yeah, but I know there's a
slang term.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
It's an animal.
Don't they have four? They have four spigots at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Is it the camel?
It's a 36 gallon.
No, they call it something else.
It's a 36 gallon.
Yeah, mine's a 5 gallon version of that. I'm trying to find it, dude.
Yeah, so am I. That's gonna bother me.
I do remember that they called them something. I thought they called them buffaloes. I know the water buffalo is the trailer. I know that. Yeah, it's a Lister bag. You're right.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. I cannot find. I know there's a freaking slang. There's like a slang term for it. I can't find it, dude.
Sea bag.
No, it's not that. Not that. I can't remember what they called it. Anyways, last thing on my list. Actually, two more things on my list. I was talking to my oldest son, Garrett, who's been on the show with us before. And I was telling him we were going to be talking about on the show today. And I was like, yeah, you know this and that. And he goes, this is a direct quote from my son. He goes, board games. And I said, oh, that's a good idea. He goes, yeah, everyone thinks it's going to be exciting, but the apocalypse is going to be fucking boring. I'm like, yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God. It'll be exciting for a few minutes.
And then
it'll get boring.
So there you go. All right. From the mouth of babes. Games and
toys.
Toys, because it is going to be boring. It is going to be boring. There's going to be a lot of downtime while you're waiting for nothing to happen. So, you know, some type of entertainment. Cards, games. Again, emergency preps, people just aren't thinking about.
Books.
Novels, right? Yeah. Or, God forbid, some of those other books we were talking about. Education stuff. The last one, and I think this, to me, coming from, so a lot of people who've listened to the show before or who've known me in person know that I grew up in the LDS religion. And the good thing about the LDS religion is, well, there's several good things about it, but one of the good things about it, though I'm no longer really a practitioner, but one of the good things about it is they're really into emergency preparedness, and they really encourage people to take care of themselves. Self-reliance is an important, to an extent, is an important part of the teachings. And one of those things that's a really big deal is food storage. However, a lot of people want to buy a solution.
Yeah.
It's like with guns or anything else. And so they run out and they're like, oh, I bought 100 gallons of wheat. Excuse me. And you're like, cool, man. What are you gonna do with that? You got a mill? How are you gonna grind it? What are you gonna bake? You're baked with it? And more importantly,
oh my god,
they do this.
I can tell you a fantastic story about this.
Well, they do this too. They go like, well, I'll just eat it like that. Like, I'm like, your kids aren't just gonna eat gruel. They're not gonna go, your kids or your butthole, by the way, is not just gonna like
nope.
that you totally changed your diet
you're right.
and are now eating gruel.
Yep.
So either you're gonna get backed up or you're gonna be a freaking torpedo through up. A submarine, yep. right? And
Or both.
Right.
It's gonna happen.
And now you are dehydrated or you're sick or you're shut down, your kids aren't gonna eat it, you're forcing them, every meal is freaking torture. So it's like when you're stocking up on food, kind of like I mentioned with seasoning, the way I prefer to stock up on food is anytime I'm buying a thing, and this is all money allowance, right?
You buy two.
So budget what you can, but instead of buying one, buy two. If you're going to buy a can of tomato paste for tonight's meal, buy two. If you're going to buy a box of cereal for this week, buy two. Assuming that you can store this safely. For those of you guys in really humid or nasty environments, you got to make those considerations, right?
Yeah.
But consider that, like, you have to be able to slowly work from your normal daily routine diet, whatever that is, into food storage. You're not just going to start tomorrow eating MREs. You know, the reason that so many people in the military have problems digesting MREs is because they went from eating hamburgers today, then they go to basic training and they're eating, you know, chow hall food and MREs. Or you're eating normal food on base, and then you get deployed, and now again you're eating out of chow halls or MREs, TDY, whatever it may be, you know, AT, wherever the hell you are.
Yep.
And
your
and
diet
all of a sudden
totally changes.
You're eating this entirely different food. And it's not very good for you.
I don't care how long you're eating MREs, you're still going to have a brick of shit.
No, I agree with that. But I'm saying, like, let's say you had stocked up on MREs. Let's just say you had, you know, whatever, doomsday MREs. And it happens. And you're like, well, we're not eating hamburgers anymore. We're eating MREs. Like, your body ain't going to like that. Mm-hmm. But if you have some food, normal food, to last you a month, 2-3 months, where you can slowly start working MREs in. You know, we're going to start with one MRE a week. One MRE a day. Until eventually we're getting used to how we're going to manage this food. And hopefully by then, if it's really that bad and it's lasting that long, hopefully you've got some other food sources, because otherwise you can't store enough food forever.
Nope.
So that's kind of something to consider. You know what I mean? So that's my list. A list addition that I will absolutely get on board with from one of our listeners here.
Beer.
Whiskey. A liquor. Beer goes bad. Right?
It can.
Beer goes bad, especially if it gets
eventually
hot.
If it goes, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, nobody wants to drink warm beer.
Nobody wants to drink a warm beer. You'll drink a warm whiskey, right?
So, not true. 2 weeks into an NTC rotation, I would have drank a warm Coors Light.
Actually, room temperature beer in Germany is common too.
Yeah, it's a.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah.
Well, depending on the beer, there's some beers that actually are better.
Alcohol in general, whiskey, bourbon, vodka,
tequila.
It keeps well. It keeps long.
Forever.
It keeps hot. It keeps cold. It's good for multi purposes. Again, if you can get some small things,
it's a painkiller.
Yeah, it's a painkiller. Helps
physical
you forget
and
that
emotional.
You're. Yeah, feel help you forget you're in the zombie apocalypse. Increases your fighting strength.
Nope. Makes you better looking. And
makes you better
dance
looking
better.
And stronger and better dancer.
Yep, it's true.
But especially if it's in small things. Now again, it's a trade item.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, not just from a oh my god end of the world Book of Eli thing, but just from a general. Hey man, I have this and I need that kind of thing. So anything I've missed, guys? Any items that weren't on the list that you felt we'd be remiss in not mentioning?
No.
Right?
Nothing comes to mind.
I mean, you always have like the regular prep items, obviously ammo, food, water, fuel.
Yeah.
All the other normal stuff that people are going to be stocking up on. But I would tell people that if your main stocking item is ammunition and guns...
Maybe their plan is to steal everything else they need when it happens, so they don't.
Yeah,
have
but I
to...
don't need a ton of ammo and guns to steal shit, bro.
10 rounds?
It'll help.
Yeah, the three of us with one AR and one mag.
Wait, who's holding who's holding the AR and who's holding the mag?
Clearly, I have the AR. All right. Clearly, you will be like knocking shit over. All right. Or
I'm gonna be somewhere.
The battery.
The hell does that mean?
We're gonna be your Ranger Smash shit. We're gonna throw you against doors so you can climb in.
All right. I'm somewhere in the back with some ammonium nitrate fucking around.
Yeah, John, blowing things up. I'll be shooting. All right. But seriously, it's the whole idea where we kind of joking about 10 rounds in a dead man's rucksack. Like, you're not going to need that much ammunition to get through a bad situation. Because if you are in a sustained engagement where you're going through thousands of rounds of ammunition, then you yourself are not going to last very long.
True story.
You need
I mean, if there's a zombie apocalypse, you're going to use a lot of ammo.
What's that?
It's zombie apocalypse, you're probably going to use a lot of ammo.
You are going to use a lot of ammo. But
and I'm going to find a sword.
Yeah, but that's the thing. At that point, you're going to be using way more hand-to-hand shit.
Yeah, well, I'm going to run out of ammo eventually.
And you can't
I'm
be running out of ammo. Everything's got to be suppressed.
With a double-headed axe and a fucking baseball bat.
Spikes.
Mm.
Nope, no spikes.
What?
Nope.
I am just looking for... I am looking for a reason to put some nails in a pig.
Here's the problem with that. If I bash that into your skull, those nails are going to stick, which makes it difficult to get out. Mm. As opposed to just a bat, I can just cave your skull in and my bat's not going to get stuck in there.
God, you've thought about this too much. But a valid point.
Yeah.
Valid point.
Not wrong.
Not wrong. So, yeah, just think about the realities. You know, these are more daily use kind of emergencies we're talking about. These are more realistic emergencies that we're talking about. Stocking up on items, they're a little bit more realistic than needing a bunch of gas masks. Or camouflage, or whatever.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, some of our listeners might be some of the people that are going to storm Area 51.
Oh, yeah. If you're storming Area 51, cool, man.
You need a lot of ammo.
Take photos.
Good luck.
Good luck. All right. If you think we missed something, email us. Let us know. We'll talk about it. We'll mention it on next week's show. If you think we just missed a critical item, you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe they didn't say, let us know.
Yeah. Condoms?
Condoms?
Mm-hmm.
No way, dude. I'm banging for repopulation. Doesn't matter for me anyway.
I can't repopulate anymore at this point.
Yeah.
But they do help prevent the spread of disease.
They do. Maybe that's how the zombie apocalypse started.
I'm a little more selective, I suppose, with my partner. Maybe you guys are.
Hey, 2002. 17 years. The same woman. I am super selective.
Yeah, pretty selective. All right. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email info@trainingaz.com.
Word.
You can bring us out to train in your area. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as Independence Training, Redwire Gear, and, of course, the Arms Room Show. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows on the network. Next week, we're going to have a guest with us, Pat, from Pat's Canine Training, about how to teach your dog to not be a dick. He just recently trained my young German Shepherd, and he did a great job.
Nice.
And I'm looking forward to having him in the studio and tell us more about what he does and how he does it and some kind of general use tips for everybody on training their dogs. He's taught me a lot based on his experience as a dog handler and a dog trainer. He taught me a lot just in standing around casually talking to him. And I'm like, that's what I used to do with dogs. And that's what I used to do with dogs. And I thought that was the right way because I saw other people do that. And he was like, nope. This is how you do it.
Nice.
And it works. I mean, his results speak for themselves. So we're going to have him in the studio talking with us. Until next time, you guys stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.